What's up, guys? How are we doing? Yeah, two of you are doing really well. Everyone else is still asleep. Well, let's try and change that. Guys, my name is Daniel Carr. A couple things I want to get out of the way. I'm normally used to speaking to 5 to 12-year-olds, okay? So if you guys have a question, please just raise your hand. That's my only thing. Don't shout out. I probably won't answer your question, but it's fine. You guys can have them all you want. And two, I need you guys, I may ask you to repeat after me. This is just for my comfort level. And I normally speak about 5 to 7 minutes, so it's going to go a little bit longer than that. But so if you guys were thinking, you know, early lunch plans, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. Guys, so I recently watched a documentary, and it was about something when the clicker is not working. There we go. It was about elephants. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, of course, the nerdy looking kid would spend his time watching a documentary. He probably went and researched it and then wrote this message about it. And that's exactly what happened. I am a walking stereotype, and you guys will learn that. But this documentary was about elephants, and I love animals. I've always been fascinated by animals. But as I learned more about elephants, I fell in love with them because they're such fascinating animals, right? They are incredibly intelligent, incredibly bright, and they're also massive. They're like 2 tons, but they're so gentle. I've also found out that elephants are one of the only other animals to cry like actual tears, which is pretty cool. And they're incredibly emotional. They actually have funerals of sorts for their dead. They're like oddly human in a way. And what this specific documentary was focusing on was orphaned elephants. So these male elephants had been orphaned, and so they took these elephants in, and they brought them to this wildlife preserve in Africa. And these elephants were going through what they call a must. It's basically like a puberty for elephants. And for whatever reason, it was lasting a lot longer. It normally lasts a couple months. And then it was lasting a lot longer, an extended amount of time. And so, like, let's go there for a second. Most of us in here have been through puberty. And we can all agree it stinks, right? Sometimes literally, it is just not good. But now imagine you think like, oh, I'm nearing the end. Nope, it's gonna keep going. Right, the closest thing that I can imagine would be being David McCreary. I feel like that's how, it's okay, we can make fun of him, he's not here, but I feel like he's in a perpetual state of puberty, David is. But these elephants were experiencing this, and they were acting very uncharacteristic of elephants. They have footage of these elephants running unprovoked up to rhinos, stabbing them with their tusks, and then leaving them to die. And that's not what we know to be true of elephants, is it? They're gentle. They have all this strength, but they know how to use it. And then there's other footage of these elephants running into each other and hurting each other and then leaving bloodied, alone, and broken. And what I realized after watching this, elephants need a father. Elephants need a father. Here are these elephants who had been orphaned, who are so used to growing up in a specific situation, and then they didn't have that, and they acted out. Elephants need a father, and whether or not we realize it, this is a picture into our society today. Did you guys know that millennials, often referred to as the fatherless generation, there's 17.4 million children growing up in fatherless homes? Man, 17.4 million children. We have 2.3 million people in prison in America today. Of that 2.1 million are men, and 1.8 million of those men grew up in homes without dads. Of the 2.1 million men in prison, all but 300,000 grew up in homes with dads. That's crazy. That's crazy, right? Elephants need a father. People need a father. You know, I've worked with kids for like 17 years. I don't know why, but they let me volunteer when I was 10. It's like, hey, who do we want to lead these preschoolers? Let's get a 10-year-old. You know, he can't do long division, but sure, he can describe an infinite God, right? And so, for whatever reason, God put me in that situation. And over the last 17 years, I've seen this time and time again. I worked at a preschool, and a mom came up to me and said, hey, if so-and-so's dad shows up, please call the police. And my heart just sunk. And over the next year, I saw this kid struggle with that tension, that longing in his heart, because something wasn't right. And I think we would all agree that there's a general behavior that we should adhere to, that we should try out, right? And some of it is subjective, but most of us would agree, hey, this is the way you behave. But for some reason in our society, fatherlessness is a big issue. I had a friend growing up, one of my best friends, had a really strained relationship with his dad, and he struggled with drug abuse, he struggled with alcohol, and he's just now picking up those pieces. It's tough. Elephants need a father. People need a father. My friends need a father. And when I was growing up, I was never able to relate fully because I have a fantastic dad. And he's here today, and he didn't know I was speaking about this, so I'm going to brag on him for a little bit. My dad was an unbelievable dad. And last year, they were moving, and I found this book, and it said 1,001 Things to Do with Your Son. And I was like scanning through it, and each one took me back to memory after memory of experiences and kind words. One of them was like, tell your son his muscles look big today. And like, look at my arms, guys. Right? I haven't gained a pound since I was born. They just stretched me out. But my dad told me, he said, man, son, you're getting stronger. And every week, without fail, I will get a text saying, hey, I love you. And I'm proud of you. And I can't tell you what that does for a 27-year-old man. I can't describe that when he reads that from his dad. That's cool, man. And so if you're a father in the room, do that. Do that. But my dad wasn't perfect. And I still had this longing. I still faced anxiety, and I still faced depression, and I still faced all of these things. But my dad understood one thing. Last week, I was sitting in his barber chair, and this is the last story I'm going to brag about, and I was sitting in his barber chair, and he actually helped me write this message without realizing it. He said, son, I got to apologize to you. And I was like, what are you talking about? He said, something happened like 10 years ago, and I can't get it out of my head. I was like, what happened? And I don't remember this at all. Apparently, we were playing some game, kickball or wiffle ball, and I had some friends over. And this may surprise you guys, but I got a little smart aleck, right? I had a little bit of a smart mouth. And my dad showed some frustration in a way that's not typical. Maybe he, like, pitched the ball a little inside. And I knew. I was like, okay, I better cool it, right? But my dad apologized to him, and he said, son, I didn't show you the patience. I didn't show you the love that you needed in that moment. Because my dad understood something. My dad understood that we all need a heavenly father. I had a great dad, but he wasn't perfect. And he was like, you know what, son? I've done all these things. I bought that book. I tell you I love you. But guess what? You need something more. Say this with me. We all need a heavenly father. Yeah. There we go. Yeah, see, we're getting it. Yeah, it's 9:30, but we'll relax a little bit. Yeah, we're good to go. Guys, we all need a heavenly father. And when we see a bad dad, isn't it obvious the need for a good dad? But this is what my dad did. When we see a good dad, he should be a model, and he should be a window into the best dad. A good dad points their kids towards the best dad. And even though I had a great dad, I still had this need, and maybe you are here, and maybe you have no dad, maybe you had a bad dad, and you still feel this longing, you still feel this desire in your heart, and you don't know how to explain it. This is it, guys. We need a heavenly father. And author Tom Wolfe, he goes on to say, the deepest search in life, it seemed to me, the thing that in one way or another was central to all living was man's search to find a father. Not merely the father of his flesh, not merely the father of his youth, but the image of strength and wisdom external to his need and superior to his hunger, to which the belief and power of his own life could be united. And I know that's really wordy, so let's break it down. It says, the deepest search in life, in one way or another, was central to all living. The thing that our heart desires most, the thing that we long for, the thing that we crave, that void that we just keep trying to fill with relationships or drugs or success or whatever, the deepest search is a man's need for his father, but not just any father, not his earthly father, not his mentor, not his coach, not a small group leader, not a teacher, not that thing that he idolized growing up. He needs a father who is superior to his strength with wisdom and strength. Something that we can be desired, like that we desire. And that, guys, God wants to be that father. That's God. That's that need that you feel, that's God. And the beautiful thing about it is, as much as we desire that from God, God wants to do that. Isn't that awesome? Can I get an amen? Yeah? God wants to do that. That same thing that you long for, God longs to do. And this is what it says in Psalm 68, 5. It says, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. Right? And you got to understand, in this point in time, historically, there was not a more striking picture of dependence and of need than an orphan and a widow. Right? The grief, the helplessness, that was orphans and widows. And so what this is saying is God is a father to the people who don't have a father. But spiritually, guys, that's all of us. Spiritually, we are all orphaned. And you maybe say, you know what? I had a bad dad. Well, you have a good dad. Maybe I have no dad. Well, you have a good dad. Maybe you had a great dad. But guess what? You still need a dad that's better than your earthly father. And he is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. And when we accept and when we acknowledge the fact that God wants to father us, what happens, guys, is we become adopted. We become adopted into the family of God. And it says we, later in the Bible, it says we are written into the will of God. And whatever God has, we get. Unreal, right? Think about it. God is up there and he could just let us be. But he's saying, no, I see you're broken. I see you're hurting. I see you're needing. And I want to meet you in that. I want to swoop up and I want to take you in my arms and I want to draw you close because you need a dad. And I want to be that dad. But so often, guys, we look to other things, right? We look to drugs. We look to sex. We look to relationships. We look to work. We look to friendships. We look to other things and we think that that'll fill that void. But it won't, right? And without your heavenly father, guys, you feel alone. You feel isolated. You feel like, man, there's no one here that understands what I am feeling. There's no one here that is going through the same thing as me. Without your heavenly father, you feel empty. You have that desire, right? You have that desire and you don't know how to fill it. You don't know how to satisfy it. And so you use all of those things and it doesn't work. You still feel empty. You feel pointless. You feel like, man, there's no way I can make an impact. There's not a thing that I can do that will matter to anybody. I feel pointless. As without your heavenly father, you feel anxious. You feel insecure. And when we feel insecure, we start comparing and we start cowering and we back away from the things that God has for us because we don't think we have what it takes. And we all do this. You know, it was a year ago that I started thinking about this idea. I picked up a book called Father Fiction by Donald Miller. And I was in a wedding at the time in Washington, D.C., and I was talking with one of the other groomsmen, and we got on the subject of books, and I told him about this book. He said, wow, that's really interesting, because my dad disowned me at 12 years old. Now imagine being a 12-year-old in like the most awkward stage of your life. And the person who's supposed to love you the most says, I don't want you. And he said it wasn't a behavioral thing. My dad just wasn't a kind man. And he found himself crying, bawling his eyes out, reading his Bible. And he said, for some reason, I was reading this picture Bible and it came across that verse in Psalms. He is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. And he said, Daniel, I called out God. As a 12-year-old, I was sitting there and I said, you know what, God, if you're real and this book is real, this book says you don't lie, and this book also says that you are a heaven, my father, I don't have a dad. You need to show up in a big way right now, which is incredible logic for a 12-year-old. And he said, Daniel, I kid you not, for the next 10 minutes, I felt the warmest, most comfortable hug I have ever experienced. He said, the only way I could describe it was the biggest bear hug. And I knew, he said, I knew in that moment that my God was my father and that my whole life I had a father. And it doesn't matter what my earthly father did or didn't do. All that matters is what my heavenly father does and wants to do for me. And Phil's life changed. In that moment, Phil's life changed because he acknowledged that he had a heavenly father. And it didn't matter what his earthly father did. He still faced that hurt. He still faced that anxiety. He still faced that pressure of pointlessness. But he knew that he could always go back to his heavenly father. And Phil was an instant away from being a statistic. And now he's working on Wall Street. He was in the service. He volunteered. He signed up to serve in the military. Phil's life changed because he called out to God, and God saw him in his weakness, and he picked him up. Guys, I had a great dad, but I struggled. I struggled a lot. I struggled with anxiety. I struggled with depression. Oftentimes, I felt alone. I felt isolated. I felt pointless. I felt empty, and I felt anxious and insecure. And it wasn't until I realized that I have a heavenly Father. I have a Father that I can put all of that on, who's always there and wants to meet me in the middle of that, guys. And the beautiful truth is that we all have a heavenly Father, every single one of us. And I don't care what situation you came from, you have a better situation. And maybe that's where you're at right now. Maybe you're here because God has been knocking on the door and you feel like, I gotta answer it. Guys, I wanna walk us through that prayer. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And if you feel that call, if you feel like, you know what, I had a bad dad, I had no dad, or I had a great dad, but I'm tired of this longing, I'm tired of feeling alone, just go ahead and repeat these words silently to me. Say, God, we love you. God, thank you for being a father. Thank you for being a father who provides for us and who cares for us, God. Today, I want to acknowledge that you are my Father. I want all of the things that you have for me, God. I want to follow you. I believe that you have wiped away my sins. I believe that you have a better future for me. Amen.